Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385, the Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
How do you describe it, Ray? How do you describe it going out as a champion?
It's simple. When God is for you, who can be against you?
Should scouting be open to gays?
Yes.
Why so?
Well, because I think that, my attitude is that gays and lesbians should have access and opportunity the same way everybody else does in every institution and walk of life.
When God sees you, he doesn't see you as that woman who had the abortion or that man who paid for the abortion. He sees you exactly as he sees the Lord Jesus. This is my beloved child in whom I'm well pleased.
Wisconsin turkey producers love Issues Etc.
I have been one my entire life. I do not recall a time when I did not know, at least at some level, that I was a Christian of the Lutheran persuasion. And actually, that's kind of an awkward way to put it, because to my way of thinking, being a Lutheran isn't a persuasion of Christianity or a brand or a flavor of Christianity. It is quintessentially to be a Christian. It is to confess the truth of the gospel and of Christ present in his church through word and sacrament, and so many other things. It is quintessentially and historically, and that's what the claim of Lutherans have always been, quintessentially and historically Christian, to call oneself a Lutheran. However the name came about, but it is good to sometimes sit back and say, from within the fence, to say, what does it mean to be a Lutheran? How is it different than all the other different kinds of Christians that are out there? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live this Monday afternoon. It's the 4th of February. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Tim Pauls will be our guest for the first half hour of the program. We're just going to try and answer that question, that basic two-word question, why Lutheranism? Listener email follows that. We got a lot of email to catch up on from our listeners. We'll try to get to as much of it as we possibly can. And then in hour two of Issues Etc., we'll talk about Jacob the Patriarch, who's remembered tomorrow by the church. He's big for a reason. You've got Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Abraham has one son, and Isaac has two. And then Jacob, well, there you start to see things explode. He has 12 sons, not counting daughters, and within several generations, Jacob is a great nation. The promise made to Abraham. We'll talk about that promise and about Jacob, also called Israel, where they get their name, the children of Israel, in hour two of Issues Etc. Now, for the next 2 hours, you can join us with questions or comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE. 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, or you can send us a tweet @issuesetc. Pastor Tim Pauls is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine titled 10 Reasons It's Awesome to Be a Lutheran. Tim, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd. Great to be back with you.
We're going to talk a lot about to use the title and the phrase there, how awesome it is to be a Lutheran for the next half hour. But are we saying in the course of this, you would be misunderstood as saying that Lutherans are the only Christians?
No, in fact, maybe the 11th reason it's awesome to be a Lutheran is we embrace a doctrine where the $2 word is the felicitous inconsistency that all those who trust in Christ, for the forgiveness of sins will be in heaven. That's not, of course, just Lutherans, but we do at the same time maintain that where theologies contradict each other, they can't all be right. And we would, as Lutherans, firmly believe that our theology truly expresses what the Scriptures say.
Why are you in particular, a Lutheran?
Yeah, and you know, like you, I have been, I grew up in the Lutheran Church, a Missouri Synod Lutheran Church, all my life, but throughout my life, I've had occasion or temptation sometimes to dabble in other theologies, and I guess my love for Lutheran theology is twofold. One is that I truly believe that Lutheran theology preaches the gospel in its purest form, which means I can be entirely certain of my salvation in Christ. And the other overarching reason is that among the Christian theologies today, I believe that Lutheran theology treats Scripture with the most appropriate respect.
What do you mean by that second part?
I mean that there's different churches and different theologians will treat the Bible differently. And some, of course, say it's not even God's word, it's simply man's word about God. Other churches will, in their theology, say that the Bible, and this is kind of a crass generalization, but it's along the lines of the Bible has to make sense, and so where the Bible seems mysterious, we'll fill in the blanks and we'll say more than God says. I greatly appreciate that in Lutheran Church, we will say this is what God's Word says, and where God's Word is silent, we don't put words in His mouth. We don't fill in blanks that God doesn't tell us. We respect the mystery, and we're okay with saying we don't know. We might guess, but then we say this is a guess. We can't know for sure.
So it sounds like what you're saying there is that while Lutheran theology certainly is coherent, it certainly clearly expresses the truth of Scripture as it is revealed, clearly and purely, it isn't an answer to every question anyone might have.
That's correct. These things are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing might have life in His name. The purpose of the Scriptures, first and foremost, is to point to Christ by showing us our sin, by showing us who Christ is and what He's done, and by walking us through history from Genesis to Revelation, demonstrating God's faithfulness and his promise of forgiveness in Christ from the very beginning.
The first reason you give in answer to that question, kind of why Lutheranism, is you get the gospel. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, and the get there is in quotes, as in you understand what the gospel is. Too many times the gospel gets watered down or rearranged into something else. The gospel is just that God loves you, or the gospel is that, fill in the blank in our postmodern world, whatever Jesus can do for you. Lutheran theology is very clear to say the gospel is that Jesus Christ died on that cross for your sins, that you might have forgiveness and eternal life in His name. The gospel is an objective truth proclaimed by Scripture. It's not something that we can form to whatever we want it to mean.
The second reason that you talk about is you get the gospel. Right. What do you mean by that?
And this time is not the word "get" is not in quotes. It's that you receive the gospel. The part of the good news of the gospel is that it is not something that we have a part of. It's a gift to us from God. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. But by grace are you saved through faith, as Ephesians 2 says. Though the other way around. The gospel is a gift to us given by God, and that's a great blessing that is clear in Lutheran theology. And it's a great blessing because if the gospel is something that I have to get, that I have to work for, that I have to make a conscious decision to latch on to, then I can't be sure if I've worked hard enough, if I've decided enough, if I've chosen to be forgiven enough. But because the gospel is something completely received, given by God in His Word and His sacraments, I can be sure that God has gotten the job done right.
I'm sure you would agree, it's pretty difficult to overestimate that character to Lutheran theology, that reception, passive reception, kind of runs the show in just about every corner of Lutheran theology, isn't it?
Absolutely, and especially when it comes to justification, to salvation. You know, I often liken it to Jesus standing before the grave of Lazarus, who's been dead 4 days, and Jesus says, "Lazarus, come forth," and he gives the gift of life. He doesn't tell Lazarus to choose life or decide to be alive again, because Lazarus can't. And if we take seriously the doctrine of original sin, that we are lost, that we're dead in our sins, that we can do nothing to save ourselves, then we can't choose to be saved. God has to do it all. And that's a great comfort, because if God does it all, then God gets the job done.
Reason three, you know where to get the gospel. Why is that so important?
Boy, I think that, you know, an overarching question in the back of people's minds is where do you find God? Where can God be found for me? And if you ask a lot of Christians, where do you find God, they might say, well, he's in heaven, which is pretty far away from you and me right now. Or else they might say, I have Jesus in my heart. But in that case, you know, we have Jeremiah 17 saying that the heart is deceitful above all things. So how can you be sure? In Lutheran theology, Jesus tells us exactly where we can find him with forgiveness for us. That's in his word. That's in holy baptism. That's in holy communion. He doesn't leave it to doubt where we can find him. You know, when we wonder how Christ keeps our bodies alive, he points us to food, he points us to water, he points us to air. Likewise, when it comes to eternal life, to salvation, he doesn't leave us wandering around wondering where he is. He points us to his word, to his sacraments, and says, "Here I am with grace and life for you." And what a great comfort to know where to find forgiveness, so that you can be sure that you receive forgiveness.
Pastor Tim Pauls is our guest. We're going through what he calls 10 reasons it's awesome to be Lutheran, answering that question, why Lutheranism, in this half hour of Issues Etc. It's Monday, February the 4th. I invite your questions and your comments. We are coming to you live, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. You can send us an email with a question or a comment. We get them right here in real time in the studio. talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or a tweet at @IssuesETC. The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for February, is a daily devotional resource for Lent titled Restore the Roar. It's written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Reed Lessing. You can read an excerpt of Restore the Roar at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase this Lenten devotional by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Restore the Roar costs only $2.29 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-325-3040.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
When we say Lutheran, we mean Lutheran. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.
Hi, this is Jonathan calling from France.
Thanks to God's gift of the Internet, people are listening to Issues Etc. around the world.
First, I would like to say thank you very much for your program. It very much ministers to those of us who are outside the comforts and the luxuries of having a confessional Lutheran congregation nearby. Thank you very much for this great resource.
Listen to what you want, when you want, wherever you are, issuesetc.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tim Pauls is our guest. We're answering the question, why Lutheranism? Well, here's number four, and it seems like these all kind of fit together pretty nicely, Pastor Pauls. Number four is, you're certain of salvation. That seems pretty basic.
It does, and this is why, most of all, why being Lutheran is worth dying for. If you take the main theologies that come out of the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, you have what Luther, you have Calvin, I would say you have Arminius, and then the Anabaptists, kind of the early Pentecostals there. Among those, nobody could be more sure of salvation than a Lutheran could. If one takes Calvin's doctrine and takes it where it's going to go, then God either chose me to be saved or chose me to be condemned, but I just can't know for sure, and so there's uncertainty there. If you go with Arminius, Arminius would be more along the lines of free will, where I choose to be a Christian, but then I can't be sure if my heart is fooling me. I can't be sure if I've chosen Jesus enough to be saved. If I'm an Anabaptist, then I'm saved if the Holy Spirit talked to me outside of the Word, which is a big question mark right there, and it all depends then on what the Spirit told me or what I feel in my gut. Against all those, Luther says you can be certain of salvation because Christ died for you, because he gives you forgiveness and baptism and his Word and his Supper. You can be confident of salvation because it's God's doing in Christ for you.
Number five, and this is one that I think a lot of, perhaps even Lutherans, don't fully understand, and certainly people outside the Lutheran faith, we have a reputation for emphasizing justification in Christ's work, and they think to the detriment of good works, but you say no, you understand good works.
Yeah, and this maybe this is optimistic that we do understand works, good works, because I think we often get this wrong. Good works are necessary, just not for salvation. You have to be alive before you can do good works. You know, Lazarus had to be made alive again before he could, take care of Mary and Martha again. In the case of Lutherans, we do good works not because we do so to earn salvation, and not because we do so to stay alive either. We do good works because we've been set free to. We're not God's slaves who have to earn our keep. We're his children in his household, and we do good works because we can, because that's what the children of God do. We're set free to do them as Christians, rather than being slaves who are required to do them to stay alive.
Now, very closely related to that, I mean, I would say inseparably related to that, for a proper understanding from a Lutheran perspective of good works, is vocation. And you say that's the sixth reason why it's awesome to be a Lutheran, and that is you understand vocation.
Right, and God gives different vocations to different people and different times. You know, the high school student has a different calling, that of student, than say, a teacher would or a pastor would or a plumber would. And there's always been a temptation among Christians, and certainly the church in medieval times is guilty of this. There's always this temptation to believe that certain vocations or callings by God are more pleasing to him than others. So, for instance, the farmer in the Middle Ages had a less God-pleasing calling than a priest did. The joy is that God gives us our callings. He places us where he wants us to be. And so as I live out that vocation, live out that calling, whatever it might be, that's pleasing to him. So if I'm a student, then taking the Algebra 2 quiz is glorifying to God. If I'm a plumber, fixing pipes is pleasing to God because that's what he's given me to do. Within that, too, there's also the danger of believing that certain acts are more pleasing to God than others. You know, an example I used briefly in the article comes from youth group when I was a kid, that a lot of kids every summer would go on a trip to Mexico to help fix up an orphanage, which is a great thing to do. But the idea was that going to the orphanage was a more godly thing than obeying parents and working in the yard. both are pleasing to God. They just happen in two different places.
Now, I just want to put a point on this before we move on, and that is, for me, it came clear, and it's remarkable how late this really came clear. I was not even really familiar with the doctrine of vocation as you just articulated it. That God gives us these stations in life, and that that's where we find our neighbors, and then our neighbor's need is that which really kind of dictates the good works that we're being called to do, and it's that simple. I wasn't familiar with that until my seminary days. Formal study to be a pastor when I was actually required to read a big red book on the subject. To know what a comfort it is, and we've heard from more listeners, what a comfort it is to get good works straight by understanding vocation. Go back over it one more time for us.
Yeah, you know, if I can do so by way of a story, when I was early on as a pastor, I ran out of material in a Bible class one day, and so I pulled out the small catechism and went through the table of duties with people, and I said, here are different stations you may have in life, and here's what God gives you to do, and as you do these things, these are pleasing to God. And I finished this, and I thought, you know, whew, I filled up the rest of the hour this way, and a woman walked up to me afterwards, and she was crying. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, for the past 20 years, I've been so busy taking care of my kids, taking care of my husband in the house, that I was always afraid I wasn't doing anything at all for God. And I finally learned today that for the past 20 years, I've been doing exactly what God has given me to do.
Mm. It's amazing.
And what a great comfort, because otherwise, the idea is that only when we're doing Christian things are we God-pleasing, and the rest of the time, going about our lives, whatever we do is what? Not God-pleasing, because it's not Christian, so to speak? God puts us where we are to serve our neighbor, and that's pleasing to Him.
Reason seven is, you for being Lutheran, you love a good mystery. We talked about this a little bit before. What do you mean by that?
Again, in a lot of Protestant theology today especially, there is the idea that everything in Scripture has to make sense, and so we can use reason to put words in God's mouth or say what Jesus really meant to say. And that certainly becomes true in the sacraments, in baptism and in the Lord's Supper. An obvious example is we teach that in the Lord's Supper, we receive Christ's body and blood and with and under the bread and wine, because Jesus took the bread and said, "This is my body." A lot of Christians will say, well, what Jesus really meant to say is this represents my body, this symbolizes my body, but it isn't really my body. That's a case where people aren't content to just rejoice in the mystery that Christ is there, but they instead use reason to explain the mystery away. And this is a spot where I love being Lutheran, in that we're willing to say, it's a mystery. God works in ways that we can't understand, and thanks be to God that He is bigger than we are.
But saying it's a mystery, and I've often heard it kind of misunderstood this way, and that is, well, it's a mystery, which means nobody really knows. Is He there? Is He not there? Is it body? Is it bread? Is it blood? Is it wine? It's a mystery. That's all the farther we can go. That's not what you're saying.
That's not what I'm saying. No, all we can say is as much as Jesus says, and where He leaves it, we leave it too. You know, whether it be His presence there or the incarnation would be another mystery, the Trinity another mystery. These are places where the doctrine gets changed or even gets denied because people say it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense that God can be, or that Jesus can be both man and God at the same time, fully man and fully God. It doesn't make sense that God can be three and one at the same time. But if that's what God says, we'll say as much as He says and be careful not to add anything more to that or take anything away from it.
Reason eight, you understand Christian freedom. What is Christian freedom, and why does it go hand in hand with the first couple reasons, understanding and getting the gospel?
Yeah, whether it be the Pharisees of Jesus' time or I think another culprit is fundamentalism today, Christians have a habit of adding more laws to the Bible that God didn't say. And you know, when I was in high school, there were teachings there that dancing was, that all dancing was sinful, that certain modes of, or you know, if you didn't dress your best, it was sinful or something like that. Christian freedom says that you may make use of God's gifts in a way that doesn't lead you to sin or doesn't cause others to sin as well. So if there is dance that doesn't cause you to sin or lead others into sin, then fine, you're free to dance. Just don't use that Christian freedom to the harm of others.
And then 9 and 10, but especially 9 here, is you trust the word over anything else. And that's kind of what Lutherans are often known for, Scripture alone. About a minute.
Yeah, you know, clinging to the Word of God. I'm told that Luther said that faith is trusting in what you do not see, often in spite of what you do see. And whether or not Luther actually said that, it certainly fits with the theology of the cross. It says, I'll trust what God says despite anything else I hear or see, because God is true and God is faithful, and he's proven that by his son's death on the cross for me, that I might have salvation.
And the final one, with only about 30 seconds, you say you're not looking for the end times, you're in them. Why do you say that?
Yeah, a lot of Christians today in America buy into the idea that the end times are coming with a rapture and tribulation, millennium. There's this whole long time scheme of what will happen before the end, and it's simply not going to happen that way. We are already in the end times. We have been since at least Acts chapter 2, Peter says, and Christ will return on a day just like this one to raise us up to eternal life.
Pastor Tim Pauls is pastor of Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Boise, Idaho, and he's author of an article in the latest Lutheran Witness magazine. The article's titled, 10 Reasons It's Awesome to Be a Lutheran. Tim, thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks so much, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time going through your email, your questions, your comments, and responding for about the next hour of Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkins. Stay tuned.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues, Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues, Etc., and you.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues, Etc. comment line.
You believe that there's not one error in the Bible. That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues, Etc. comment line. Available 24/7. 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The recent March for Life in Washington, D.C. was an especially big deal. It marked the tragic 40th anniversary of the Supreme Court decisions legalizing abortion on demand throughout pregnancy. The weather was bitterly cold and it snowed for much of the march. But you should have seen the young people. A vast majority of the march consisted of people 25 and under, and they weren't given the inclement weather the time of day. They were smiling, they were singing, and they were chanting. Many carried homemade signs, all of them boldly standing up for life. My favorite group was four young men dressed up as superheroes. They called themselves Avengers for Life. Today's youth are helping to make pro-life positive and mainstream. God bless them.
For more information, visit our website at lifeissues.org and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.